Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Behind the Scenes with Brian, the podcast covering everything from engineering, mining, and mine waste management to whatever else may be on our minds. Pop in your headphones and don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share. And now, here is your host, Brian Ulrich.
Hey everyone, this is Brian. This is Behind the Scenes with Brian, and today I am joined by Carlos Hubner. Carlos, how are you today?
Hi, Brian. So I'm currently next to the Caribbean Sea in the tropical rainforest of Panama in Central America.
It sounds beautiful. How is the weather right now?
Well, quite rainy, to be honest. There is like a storm over us, and it has been raining in the last 48 hours quite heavily.
Wow.
But this is the usual. Like, the climate here is, it rained almost 300 days of the on the year, so it's basically every day that we have some showers every time in a while.
It's amazing. It's in here in Colorado, we say that we have 300 days of sunshine, so we're just kind of the opposite.
You're right.
Yeah.
But the temperature is great. Like, that's the good thing. You can be outside with your t-shirt and enjoy the weather, even if it's raining. So, quite amazing.
Okay. That's great. Well, Carlos, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your education.
Sure. So, well, I'm from Chile. I'm a civil engineer with over a decade of professional experience. I started in the consultancy business, always related to mining, there in Chile, before moving into operation with some of the roles that I have been doing here in Cobre Panama. I think it's quite interesting for me because I have been always focused from water management and tailings management, hopefully from an integrated point of view. And my experience has allowed me to be in different type of climate, from very extreme dry condition in the desert, Atacama Desert, from cold in the cold weather in the Andes, and now in a very extremely wet conditions here in Panama. So it's quite interesting to know a little bit of how the different approaches in terms of mining when you have a different climate and how the risks are managed differently from one side to the other. I'm currently the responsible of Cobre Panama tailings management facilities. Basically, I'm the manager here. Interesting project, so quite nice.
So how long ago did you join Cobre Panama?
Yeah, so I joined the company First Quantum Minerals almost 5.5 years ago. I originally came for being part of the operational readiness of just before going into operations. Then all the ramp up process and optimization of the project. It is an interesting project because also Panama doesn't have much history of mining, so there was a lot of training focalized to the local workforce for them to be starting their mining careers in a place like this, in a larger scale operation like this. And eventually I went transitioning into like a very specific role and technical role from water management up to what I'm currently doing, which is basically managing the entire TSF.
Yeah, and water management must be a huge issue. Issue
is it
the
is,
right
I,
word, but challenge.
It is for different aspects. One of them is obviously we have almost 4.5 meters of rainfall every year. that is basically an infinitive supply of water coming from the sky. And you have to manage water differently, because you have three times the water get inflows compared to the water losses that you have, and basically that is forcing you to release water to the environment, obviously under local regulations, under local compliance in terms of water quality. And at the same time, as you know, all TSF, the major risks of a TSF are always water related. So that's also involved to have like an insane freeboard, I don't know, like 6 meters of freeboard, trying to have like a float storage allowance of trying to maintain, I don't know, 20 or 30 million cubes of water, a space for water to be stored in floating conditions. So it's quite interesting from many aspects.
Do you happen to know offhand the European probable maximum precipitation? It must be at least a meter.
Sorry?
The PMP for your site must be at least.
So we recently updated the PMP and it was 890 millimeter in 24 hours.
Yeah.
We also did a very good job with the guys from Golder, and we also estimated like a 48 hours and 72 hours PMP, which was almost 1200 millimeter in 48 hours and 1500 in 72 hours. So it's quite amazing. It's basically facing Hurricane Katrina coming toward us, and be prepared for it.
Well, that's amazing. So you must be quite away from the Panama Canal, because I understand that there's actually a route at the Panama Canal area.
Yeah, so we are in the same orientation, like towards north to the Caribbean Sea, but there is a couple of catchments between us. We are about 80 kilometers from the Panama Canal catchment, which is huge. They have almost 1,000 square kilometers there, contributing to the Panama Canal operation. But yeah, we are in the same location, but far, still far from them.
Yeah, just a different catchment. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, does your company have other properties around the world?
Yeah, so their major operation beside Cobre Panama are located in Zambia. They have two copper mines there, which are Kansanshi and Sentinel. Both of them are ranked around 14 in the world in terms of production. We used to be on ranked 8 in 2022. So it's also a big operation. And then we have a few others in Spain, Finland, Turkey, Mauritania, and one nickel mine operation in Australia. And the future is also bringing some operation in Latin America. That's where the company is looking at this moment. So there is an interesting project in Argentina, in the north part of Argentina, Taca. Another one in a joint venture with Rio Tinto in La Granja project in north of Peru. So quite a big one also.
Yeah, that's La Granja is obviously presents a lot of challenges, but also opportunities.
Yeah, it's a huge deposit, and technically, I think it's feasible and just engineering need to catch up with the best technologies, and we will be able to be producing there pretty soon.
Yeah. So, Carlos, not too long ago, there was some news events related to your mining property about halting the mining. Can you tell us anything about that?
Sure. So basically, in the last couple of years, there was like a renegotiation of the contract, of the mining contract linked to this operation, which ended in an agreement with the government. But eventually, there was some discussions from the society about mining in general. That was triggered by this contract and eventually created a perfect storm for many reasons that eventually ended up into stopping operation all of the sudden. For basically overnight, we received the notification that the operation has to stop. And that created a very unique situation in a operating mine of this scale, and especially because we just started like 5 years ago. It's not like a long time operation that we were close to closure. We are basically just starting up. So interesting situation, which I guess we can say that obviously is a little bit linked by the fact that there is not like a deep understanding about mining in the country, and that's something that everyone needs to correct. And obviously, whatever is unknown for the people, sometimes it's a little bit scary and raise some concerns that has to be resolved and answered.
Yeah. So what was the state of your tailings facility when the operations were stopped?
Yeah, so let me talk first like a few generalities about the facility. So it's a very large facility. We are talking about 20 square kilometer footprint. Wow. The ultimate capacity was about 1.6 million tons of tailings to be stored there. Over 17 years of operation. The topography is quite also a little bit challenging because it's like a few hills here and there. And in order to create the right containment, you have to actually build like huge embankments on different sides of the catchment. In our case, we have two at this moment. One is the East Dam, and the other is the North Dam. Both of them are over 3.5 and 4 kilometers long, so almost 8 kilometers of embankment that we have to construct. And we are using a modified centerline method of construction, using mostly cyclone sand coming from the same tailings.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons of that is because although Panama is not known for seismic activity, we do have some seismic activity here up to certain degree, but it's still sufficiently to create like a special condition for large civil structure infrastructure like this one. So we are using similar than Chile and Peru cyclone tailings to construct the embankment.
So is the cyclone sand then compacted?
Correct. Yeah. So basically, when we do the construction, we focus on two things. One is the fine content of that sand, and so trying to create the best quality of sand in order to create the right drainage and keep the sand dry. And at the same time, the compaction level, we have to reach 100% compaction. And that is one of the challenges here.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us more about your tailings facility.
Well, so now moving on to our current situation, this was quite interesting because as you know, sun, cyclone sun, is a great and ideal material, to construct in terms of their different properties from in terms of design. So I guess the design is absolutely great what we're doing, but at the same time, it's not the right material for preservation, for a long-term preservation situation, especially if you are receiving 4.5 meter of rainfall every year, and most of that rainfall comes in high intensity showers that appears every day. So it's quite interesting that now that the operation has stopped, our preservation plan is quite challenging still, because it's not a facility that you can leave as it is. It's not just monitoring, it's actually maintaining the walls, waiting to see what is coming next. And leaving and stopping our operation on a certain progress of the next race of the bank of the dam also means that your downstream phase is not balanced yet. You still have some spots, the lower spot compared to the buttress or to other locations that are more susceptible for external erosion and for local instabilities that you have to keep under control. While you are in operation, that is not a big deal, because basically you are fixing while you are constructing.
Right. You're always building over the top of the previous layers. And
exactly.
Like you're saying, you can't reclaim. There's no concurrent reclamation. But if you're operating, you do have, it's basically a continual repair job.
Exactly. While you are constructing, you are repairing, and obviously once you transition into closure, you actually put a different layer of protection for that kind of for perpetuity. But in this case, like leaving the site as it is and not being able to create more sand, because basically it's coming from the same tailings, is quite challenging. It has also different other aspects. For example, is like obviously we have like a pond inside impoundment, and the location of the pond when everything started is what it is. Like we cannot control it anymore because we are not able to discharge additional tailings to push the water to a different location or to reduce the volume that we have in storage. Like it's basically the pond remained that way and it is what it is.
Yeah, sounds like quite a challenge. So you're still taking care of the property, I would say.
Yes, we are, because basically disregarding of what the current situation means legally, we're still like a responsible company that has all the knowledge about the operation and the conditions and everything. And so we are accountable for this operation, and we will continue maintaining and preserving all the assets, but also maintaining our environmental commitments and maintaining the risk under control. Because that's one of the challenges to explain to people, is disregarding that the current condition, all the risks are under control and there is no imminent risk. You know, if we stop doing maintenance, those risks will start growing exponentially, and eventually you will be in a level that is not tolerable anymore. So we need to keep doing what we are doing, obviously with a smaller group of people and less equipment, but it's still a lot of things to do at this moment.
So you probably know.
By the way, environmental commitments are still quite interesting. Like going back from what I previously said, we're still discharging water to the environment that has to be under quality compliance. The fact that we stop operation doesn't mean that the water quality will remain exactly as it is forever. We still need to collect and pump back all the seepage from the facility in order to not to pollute the groundwater system. So there's still a few things that are critical to maintain, and that is part of our environmental impact assessment, and those are not going away never. So we need to be here and taking care of that.
Yeah, so I suppose there's no clear path forward, right, at least right now, for the property. But do you have any idea what's next, or not really?
Well, there are a few things that the government is, and the government and us, we are in full agreement. One of them is they are going to set up like a huge audit from different topics, and okay, that audit will tell the truth about the good and the bad and everything. It will be complete transparency from everybody. That information will come from an external independent company, so I guess the public will be able to rely on that information and trust about that information. And that will be great, because at this moment the situation is nobody is actually believing of what we are saying or believing what the government is saying, and there is some, the trust is a little bit broken, but an audit will tell the truth, whatever it is, and that will set up the right condition of what to do next. And then I think is the other part of the challenge is it is that the you know the life cycle of a mine, that at the beginning of the early years you do have some kind of conceptual ideas about closure, but during operation is when you basically gather sufficient data to start going into an engineering solution and start gathering and collecting all the material and resources that you need in order to trigger that plan. And that normally takes years, like, and you know that it takes several years, a huge amount of money that has to be put there. And in our case, we firmly believe that it is impossible to do it right away, and we need to keep operating at least for a while until we create those conditions. So for example, in the TSF case, we still need to balance the batteries. Like, you cannot leave like low point or low location. And again, you cannot just mix materials. So you cannot bring rock from a quarry and mix it with cyclone sand. So you still need to produce a little bit of sand and reach a point in which the embankment is prepared to move to the next phase, disregarding if it's the final design or not. And there is a lot of studies about it, because if you are not going to the final design, then you have to reassess all your seepage analysis, you have to reassess all your deformation analysis, you have to do all your hydrogeological modeling and everything from the scratch with the information that you have available so far. And that takes time, a lot of time. But we're still hoping that there is a different solution, and this is just transparency. The transparency that is coming from all different actors, it will provide a change of direction, and eventually we will be able to reach a different agreement where where it's more like a win-win situation without risking the environmental commitments or risking the different facilities that are involved in this area. So
yeah. Well, you're a world-class mining company, and there's no doubt audit's going to show that. But the auditors are going to find something that could be better. So hopefully,
of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's their job, is to look where other people haven't looked before.
But yeah, we are, as a tailings professional, we're still struggling to remove from people's mind about historical disasters regarding tailings, and tailings is always in the bad actor here, and there is a lot to do. But at the same time, we are in the best position ever. We are having so many great guidelines and documentation and everything that allow you to have like the proper governance around tailings, and we are also having different multidisciplinary teams of expert people of different areas, and which are contributing to excel what we are currently doing, and that tells you that we can do mining in a sustainable way and managing risk and being some kind of environmentally friendly. And we need to prove society that is true and is happening.
Yeah. So some people say you should live every day like it's your last day, which I kind of disagree with, because if I knew something was going to be my last day, I'd be doing something fun and exciting and dangerous. But it sounds like a piece of advice might be mine every day like it might be your last day mine. I mean, that's me the only lesson from this whole experience. It's also impossible to actually do that. I mean, not impossible, but with a continually constructed modified centerline dam, it would be very challenging to be at any one point at the exact right time to have a stoppage in the production.
Yeah. So what I think one of the interesting things that happened locally is like Panama had a couple of experience with minor scale operation, like one gold mine, a couple of gold mines, I think. Okay. And both of them like closed in a very abrupt situation when they basically walk away. They put like a security guard at the entry and that's it. Obviously the challenge now is trying to explain that it's not a good idea first, disregarding the scale of the mine, is not never a good idea of doing that way. But secondly, it is just impossible to do it in a large scale operation without having a real impact someday, not necessarily tomorrow, but someday. And that will have higher consequences than dealing with the situation in a timely manner. And there are many professionals coming from different, from other countries that has been talking, because this is probably one of the hot topics in the country. They are trying to explain that there is still a long journey ahead. And again, like that there is many things that has to be done before considering any scenario. Financially, from environmentally, from a risk management perspective.
Yeah. So from your point of view, are there any lessons to be learned so far from this experience, or not really?
Yes, it is. Like, for me, it's quite interesting to know that, you know, the most recent guidelines, they are always talking about this TSF life cycle of when we were designing, operating, eventually closing, yeah, and closure.
Yeah.
And somehow we leave the care and maintenance of the preservation as a separate chapter in this kind of guidelines and manuals. But in reality, it could be something quite real, especially in the current days. And to be honest, we have been operating for 5 years, and we had COVID, which is also like a current maintenance scenario. And now, a few years later, during the negotiation of the contract, we also have like a short stop for a couple of months, and now we have this and this new one. And many mines in the world are facing similar situations. Like you hear the news about Peru with a couple of mining operations. You hear some news from Africa. And I think preservation phase became more often than we will like to have. And therefore we need to start preparing for that, and the design has to consider that, because in our case, yeah, it's not that simple to move from operation into preservation, and it has like a huge cost to preserve what we are currently having, and that is not something that we can disregard next time.
Carlos, it's been really interesting, and I know frustrating for you. It's not the experience you were hoping it would be, but we've covered a lot of grounds today, and I think I've asked everything I wanted to ask. Was there anything you wanted to talk about that we haven't already discussed?
No. To be honest, one of the reasons of having this conversation is just to raise a little bit awareness, and as the industry, especially for people involved in tailings facilities, that could be start happening in this kind of challenging conditions. And like we said in the last question, we need to be prepared. And there is also always a commitment on maintaining and preserving the condition, but it has to have the right framework to do it, and there are always challenges ahead that we will have to tackle. So it's an interesting situation that we're facing, and I think it will bring quite of key learnings for anyone involved in the mining industry, especially those that have like a tailings career.
I guess one of the takeaways from this would be, when you're running a risk assessment, you probably should have an entry in there about the unexpected closure, shutdown, or stoppage. I think that probably is not an element in most people's risk assessments right now.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes we just think about the imminent physical risk of the facilities, and even we consider like terrorist attacks and even an hostage situation, but yeah, sometimes there are things beyond that we need to start considering, and thinking beyond what we used to.
Carlos, I appreciate your time today and sharing your situation with us, and helping us to understand where you are and where you might be going to in the future. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and I wish you and your operation all the best.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invitation, and yeah, I'm really positive that this will end up in a great outcome, and actually not many mines will have the chance to have like a second ramp up and second operational readiness, so we will be prepared for that situation, and I'm pretty sure that that the future is bright, but we need, we will have to wait for some time.
Thank you
for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be hoping for the best for you, Carlos.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Ciao.
Cheers.
Well, that's it. I'm Brian, and this is Behind the Scenes with Brian. Until next time, keep on rockin'.